Well, good morning, church. Well, as Max said, we're continuing to look at this whole concept of spiritual gifts. And the Holy Spirit is so important in a believer's life, in every aspect of it. Coming to Christ, Jesus comforted his disciples when he was telling them that he was going to be crucified and he was leaving. He said, it's okay because I'm going to send to you a comforter, one that's going to come alongside you. And if you know about the Holy Spirit, then he convinces us and he convicts us. He teaches us, reminds us of all things. He does a lot of things for us. And in our own lives, what we see predominantly is the change in our lives from before Christ, because the fruit of the Spirit now is starting to be magnified and expressed and displayed, however you want to say it, in our lives, that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, all those aspects of that singular fruit is what changes us, our character, you might say. He also, though, gifts us, he gives us these gifts so that we might build one another up, spur one another on, help one another in that. And as we looked at last week, he gives the gifts to each one of us, everyone that is in Christ, that is truly by faith alone, put your faith in Christ and what he's accomplished on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection for us, accepted that. Ask him to forgive us our sins. And now, walking by faith with his help, he has given us his Holy Spirit, resides in us, indwells us. And as he's done that, he not only gives us his comfort and all the things, but he has gifted us. And we looked last time at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, probably the most exhaustive of the text on spiritual gifts. But I want to read out of the Phillips version, 1 Peter 4:10. It says, serve one another with the particular gifts God has given each of you as faithful dispensers of the magnificently varied grace of God. So it says a lot of things that is redundant, and maybe you can hear some of the things I said last week. We're to serve one another. That is the purpose in some of these gifts. In Corinthians, it says the gifts were given to each one for the common good. It's for building up. It's for increasing our faith. Those sort of things. Each one of you, each one of us have a gift. And here's the thing. Do you realize, I think this is what we overlook, is that we are dispensers of God's grace when we use our gifts to build up other people. Now, I was trying to think, do we really get that, and how can I explain that? And I thought of it, kind of, the Apostle Paul uses a lot of athletic metaphors, and I think maybe this would help you. It's like if you've ever watched boxing. I know it's not as popular as it used to be, but if you've ever watched it, at the end of the round, the guy goes back and sits down, and there's a guy behind him that cleans him up and is speaking to him. Cross, keep. He's telling him, you know what? This guy's murdering you with that left cross. Keep your gloves up, or whatever. You need to move. There's some instructions. And it's the same for us. When somebody comes alongside us and we're getting beat up by the world or the devil or whatever, and somebody says, you know what? You're not battling flesh and blood. You're battling powers and principalities, even in heavenly places. You need to put on the full armor of God, like it says in chapter 6. You need to keep your shield of faith up so that you can withstand these fiery darts of the enemy. That's what it's talking about. When you think about a weightlifters, what are they always? They have spotters, if they're smart, because there comes a point where they just can't do it anymore, so somebody takes that weight off of them. And it's the same thing we do. Sometimes somebody in the circumstances of life, they just can't do it anymore. And we come alongside by our gifts, maybe of mercy, service, whatever it is, and we help take that load off of them. And there's other, you know, illustrations we could use. The gymnasts, the Olympics are going on right now. And if you've ever watched a coach teach young people and they're doing all these backflips and stuff like that, and suddenly they get off course and are about to crash and they catch them, they keep them from falling. The body of Christ, God has organized us with these gifts. When we see somebody stumbling in their faith because of whatever circumstances, false teaching, or just the weakness, the immaturity, whatever, that we can come alongside and help them not to stumble. We can encourage them. We can help them. We can answer the questions maybe they have. That's what it's talking about. And when we do that, we are dispersing this unbelievable, varied, magnificent grace of God to one another. So how can we determine our spiritual gifts? Well, Romans tells us that we all have different gifts. Now, let me just explain that a little bit. Same gift doesn't mean that if I have a gift that nobody else in this room could have that same gift. It's just saying there is a variety of gifts. That's all that means there. There is a different gifts, and it's according to the grace given to each of us. Think about how God thought about you with that statement. He has measured out, when he gave you a gift, just the right amount of that gift that is needed for you to accomplish the purpose that he has for you. Not too much. He didn't hold any back. It's like that master chef that can take the spice, a pinch, and say, is that enough? Really? I'd have to measure it, and just sprinkles it there. Perfect. And you know what that means? You know what the implication of that is? That every one of you here are not only unique in your gifting, specifically made to order according to what God wanted, but you're indispensable to us, to the body of Christ. You are uniquely not only created in the womb, but now you, spiritually, you are also uniquely created for God's purposes and gifted so that you can help and equip one another and build up each other. So we learn and we can determine our gifts. Primarily, we should know God's word. We should study God's word. As I mentioned, we have 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Fairly long, exhaustive, including lists and some comparisons. But you should also look at chapter 13 because it says that our gifts should be used in love. Chapter 14 gives you some boundaries and some things in there as well. You can go to 1 Peter. You can go to Romans chapter 12. You can go to Ephesians chapter 4. And it mentions gifts. We should know clearly what God's word says about gifts, the utilization of them, the equipping, and all of that. So that would be my first thing. Obviously, we can always pray. It's when it says earnestly desire the gifts, I'm not saying that we're. I want to pray that I have mercy. Maybe I should. I'm not saying praying for a gift. I'm saying, Lord, help me to discover. I think maybe this is how you're gifted me. Will you help me to understand this? We're to pray about all things, so I don't see anything wrong with praying on helping us discover our gifts. And one of the things, a tool that is used quite often, is a spiritual gift inventory or an assessment. And there's some benefits in that, but there's some downfalls in that. Because for one thing, some of them are limited to what some people believe. There's 8 gifts. Some believe the gifts are unlimited, so they have everything from crafts and hospitality to fingernail polish. I mean, it's everything. Everything's a spiritual gift. So you have that. And the problem with taking any kind of test and inventory like that, if you've ever done that, they're really subjective, are they not? A little bit on how you feel about it. It doesn't take you very long. You're pretty smart, you know, right? You start saying, oh, I know what this is saying. No, I don't want to do that. It's talking about evangelism. No, I don't like doing that very much. But this is talking about something I really want to be. That's what I'd like to be. So we kind of influence it in some ways. And even when you take those, and let me just say the benefit of them, whether you believe in 8, 7, 8, 9, 18 gifts, that are listed in the Scripture, that's still a lot of gifts to sort through. So what it can do is help you to narrow it down. It says, according to this inventory, this assessment that you just took, more likely this is something you should investigate. It doesn't say that this is your gift. It says this is what you should test. This is what you should inquire about. This is what you should look at. How do we determine our natural abilities? I mean, everybody has them. I mean, some of you people are just talented unbelievably, right? And so, if doing or that you are drawn to, maybe something you like to see other people doing or involved in, something you like to study about, you had an interest about it, those kind of things. It's the same thing here. Chances are, if you have an interest, when I see people that like to come to Sunday school classes and I like to be in Bible study and they like to go into deep in Bible study all the time, then probably they could probably be teachers. Maybe they desire, maybe it's a gift of knowledge and they want to have more knowledge, yes. But a lot of them can teach. As a matter of fact, we're all to teach. We're to teach one another, But that's one way that we can do it. We can see how it is. And then we can develop our spiritual gifts. And as we're developing our spiritual gifts, it will also help us confirm, is that my gift? Because like anything else, there's people say, you know, I think I would be good at that. And then when you try that, I mean, sometimes in the middle of the night, I think, boy, that's a good message. And then in the morning when I think it through, no, it wasn't. What were you thinking about? You know, and life does that to you. 1 Corinthians 14 says, so it is with you, since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel at those that build up the church. I think one of the things, if I were to evaluate all my years in ministry, and the unfortunate thing about spiritual gifts, it seems to be like a phase in the church. There's times when everybody's talking in all the churches about spiritual gifts, and then it dies out, and there's some that don't even want to mention that there is such a thing as spiritual gifts. And it's a biblical principle. It shouldn't be a phase. It shouldn't be one time, oh yeah, gifts are cool, and another time we've cooled off about them. And here's one of the reasons I think that happens. We are seeking the gift and not the giver of the gift. Because the primary thing that we need to do, that we always need to do, is seek God first. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then you know the second part, so that and our neighbor as ourselves. So when we're doing that first and primary, as a matter of fact, if you were to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we finally get through the theology of the first 8 chapters and the 3 chapters about Israel, and then back into the practical application of Romans. It says, therefore, I beseech ye, that's King James, I urge you, and I love that. He says, this is the Apostle Paul saying, I'm not commanding you, I'm not making you, but I am begging you. This is what I desire for you. Please, I'm pleading with you. Commit yourselves. Be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto the Lord. That is your true spiritual worship. We need to look at the Bible in context. Some of us are familiar with that verse. The next one talks about us not considering ourselves any, you know, more than we should. In the right way, don't think of ourselves that, so we shouldn't. And then you know what it says after that? Then it starts talking about spiritual gifts. So how I see it is this. For us to really utilize our spiritual gifts in the right way, we need to seek the one who's given them, God, and God through His Holy Spirit. When we do that, we, regardless of our gift, it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. So consider ourselves. Take an honest inventory and do this in a humble way, humility, That's why chapter 13, the love chapter, do it with love. If you do that, considered that, and then it's going into the gifts. If you do this, if you seek God, if you have a right assessment about your own self, then it won't lead to abusing these gifts. Because when you look at Corinthians, they were the most gifted church, but what was the problem? It was all about the gifts. It was all about themselves. It was all about this and that and who was the best and all kinds of stuff. And this will protect us a little bit from that. I don't think you can divorce our devotion to the Lord first and utilizing the gifts He's given. It's not either or, it's both and. It's the one will help us function properly with the other. If you know that verse, it says when we do that, we'll be able to know His perfect pleasing, good and perfect and pleasing will. And so it'll also help us to know what God's will is when it comes to these gifts, if we're doing these things first. To me, when I see my gift being used, or I see other people and recognize their gifts, it's just a reminder of me how God is using you, how God has chose to work through you as an individual. It's a very encouraging thing for me personally. So we acknowledge then that God has given you this gift and we're to use it for His glory. We should seek ways to use it within the church. Now, I say within the church, why? Because almost in the context of whether it's Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, and all that, it talks about building up the body, building up the church. But as I said last week, it's not limited to that. Let me give you a good example. Maybe you have a gift of teaching. Shouldn't that be used in your home? With your children? With your grandchildren? With your spouse? Evangelism is not going to be used here primarily. Hopefully not, right? Hopefully this is to the church believers primarily, and that we go out with that. So it's not exclusive to the church, but primarily here. Because this is where we gather, where people are gathered that are in the body of Christ. We use it to build them up. Somebody's beat up in the corner and you come alongside. Those of you that have that gift of encouragement, you're going to make it. It's going to be okay. We'll get through this. Even COVID will end, right? Say amen if you believe that. If you don't, I'll pray for you. So put them into practice. Even if you're not sure if that's your gift, try it out. You know, that's why when I teach a class, I like to try to have somebody come and shadow that or be a substitute or something. When I've done small groups, I've had people that have been my co-facilitators. You know, if you look at how Jesus did discipleship, He says, come and follow Me. Watch what I do. Then He sends them out. Do what I did. Then He comes back and they report on that. That is the best way for us to learn our gifts as well. Watch somebody who has got that same gift. Put it into practice. It should be this way. Are you any good at it? I remember I felt I had a call into ministry. And I was praying through that because, you know, there's a lot of ways to be a minister or to, you know, there's boys camps, there's for youth, there's just all kinds of things, counseling. And you know, I had a person say, you know, even where you are working, you know, what you're doing in the workplace, that's ministry. It doesn't have to be full-time ministry. So I was praying about that, and I really felt God's call me. He said to preach Christ and preach Him crucified. So that's been one of my life verses. And so I remember one of the first times that I got up to preach. I'd never done it before. So somebody said, well, you can't remember everything. I'm so nervous on index cards. So I put it on index cards, and I was so nervous that my knees were shaking. That I was glad they had a big pulpit. And I was shaking my hands, and I dropped the index cards, and I forgot to number them. So I had just like, I mean, I was lost. And I survived it, and I was home, and there was some people from the church came over afterwards to, you know, try to encourage me and everything. And I had my window open. It was in the summer. And two women were leaving that had been there to encourage me, and the window was open. I heard her say, "Well, I don't know what he's been called to, but it's not to preach." So we have to try it, right? We have to continue on. We have to practice it a little bit. And that brings me to this point. We have to learn to refine the skill that we have. Or the gift is a better word. And I think this is confusing to people. So we have a gift. It's the Holy Spirit. So it's supernatural in a sense, right? It's not our, as we saw last week, it's not a natural talent. It's just not an ability you have. And so we think since God gave it to us, it's a done deal. It's perfect. No. I could get you a couple of women to give testimony that, no, my preaching was pretty bad. Maybe some of you are still thinking that. But we put it into practice. And by doing that, we refine it and we can help define it. Because you can have somebody who is gifted or talented musically, but they still need to practice, right? They still do the scales. I've never gone to a concert and heard the scales. Have you? No, but they practice those. Somebody who's very gifted athletically, do they say, "Hey, I'm a really good quarterback. I don't need to go to camp. I don't need to prepare this season. Same thing. Going to show up?" No. And we need to do the same thing when it comes to our spiritual gifts. 1 Timothy says this. He's saying, don't neglect the gift that was given to you. Be diligent. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone might see your progress. You're going to get better at that, whatever that gift is. God is going to continue. He's giving you that measure, that perfect measure, but you just don't know how to perfectly do it yet. When I broke my neck when I was 16, paralyzed, they said I wouldn't use my hands again. Thought they could get me to walk, but couldn't do anything. When I finally came out of that, I had no idea how many things that we do that is muscle memory. My brain knew how to do it, but I couldn't shuffle cards. I couldn't write. There's other things that was really hard for me to do with my hands because my mind says, go do it. And I said, what are you talking about? You just couldn't do it. Even when I finally got to where it wasn't that I could control where it went, I just didn't do that. It's the same thing with our gifts. We have the abilities there. We just don't have everything. We haven't practiced enough to get those things to back lined up to where they're being used completely and totally in the way that God would have them for His glory. It will help. One of the things I did, I found a mentor that was preaching. And I said, I think I've been called to do that. Would you help me with that? And he was brutal in it. He said, not enough illustrations, too many illustrations, too many scripture verses, not enough. That didn't even have anything to do with that. You're not even in a context. He hurt my feelings. He did. But it was a thing for me because it was real, it was true. So when we have this accountability partner, they can give us guidance and feedback on that. I mean, what is an apprentice program? It is somebody who is skilled at something, handing that down who's somebody who is not. And there's nothing better. That really, I think, is a biblical principle. And so if we find somebody who's good at teaching, somebody who's good at exhortation, somebody, there's all kinds of, we have some great people who serve here. A gift of hospitality, whatever those gifts are, of leadership. We need to recognize the diversity of gifts. There's different gifts and different kinds of service, but the same Lord. These are different kinds of working, but of all of them and everyone in the same God at work. So there's different gifts and different kinds of service. We can't expect everybody to be the same. When you look at the list of gifts, whether it's the 7, 9, 18, or exhaustive, it's like a person's face. Most people's face, unless there's a real problem, have two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and a couple ears, right? We all have the same things there. But look around. Does everybody look the same? No, there's that diversity. And there can be a diversity, and somebody who has a gift of teaching might have a teaching from a pulpit here, or might be doing, like Rebecca, teaching up in the nursery, or like Matt teaching there, or somebody teaching adults in a small group, or the women that meet, Steve that taught an adult class. There's all kinds of ways. Moms teaching their children in the home, backyard studies, like sometimes, all kinds of ways. Not everybody serves the same way. We have a gift of service. Even when we have a gift of mercy, the way we respond with compassion is different than somebody else. And that's what it's talking about. And that's okay. We can allow them to do that. So, there's lots of gifts. And like I said, because of the way in Corinthians and Ephesians and in Romans especially, the gifts are listed, I don't see anything there in any of those that Paul says, and that's it. I don't think it was meant to be exhaustive. I think it's saying these are gifts of the Spirit. If gifts, like in Exodus 31, if God wants to gift you in a certain way to accomplish something he wants done, I think he's able to do that. Amen? But I think there's benefit in looking at the list that we have before us. We don't need to fabricate things for the sake of that, but let's look at it. Now, the number of gifts, again, will depend on there are churches and people, and maybe even some in here, that think the gifts didn't continue, some of them. They ceased. They were done when the last apostle died, including the one that was abnormally born, the Apostle Paul. There's others that said, no, it continues. There's some, like myself, that says it continues with caution, because we're told to test the spirits. We need to be careful not to devalue the spiritual gifts. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, no, I don't need you either. I don't think there's anybody here that looks at a part of their body and says, you know, that's disposable. And sometimes what we don't recognize is how valuable some of the gifts that some of you don't think are very valuable. Gifts of. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. Again, this is one way we devalue them, is if we're uninformed or don't want to have a gift. Every Christian, every one of us is responsible to discover and utilize our gift. And I would take it a step further and say typically and generally and often we recognize gifts in other people. And so we have a responsibility as well to say, hey, you know what? You seem to be gifted with children. Or you seem to be gifted in this way. You seem to be a real leader. You're just gifted that way. Have you ever thought about leadership in the church in some fashion? You know, those kind of things. Not learning how the gifts work. You know, they work together. And there's a lot of different gifts that work together. There's one body, yes, but they all work together. That's the whole point of that, the analogy that the Apostle Paul's using about the body. It's all the body, and it all functions, and some of it's not seen, and some of it we don't think about ever, but it's necessary, and it's beneficial. It's beneficial even if your gift is not one of these gifts listed, for you to understand how that gift functions so you understand it. How maybe it supports your gift or helps you with your gift, or maybe why you don't understand why that person is like that. And maybe it's because they're seeing everything through the prism of their giftedness. Sometimes I've seen it. I've seen people that don't like their gift. They have a gift, depending on your list. Some will call it help. Some will call it serving. You know, I would like to be able to do something else, and they don't have that gift, and so they don't like it. These gifts were never given for us to compare. It says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Apostle Paul's asking, question mark. Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And what's the answer to that, church? No. No. And so the God who gives the gifts understands that's how it should be. That's how he wanted it. That's how he designed it. And all these gifts are important, even your own. Especially your own. Because, like I said, you're indispensable. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would be for no reason to stop being a part of the body, is it? Now, I know in First Timothy chapter 5, the Apostle Paul's talking about that those who teach in the service deserve honor or double honor in some versions. That's important and they deserve that. But he's not saying that that's the supreme gift and they get it all. They're just saying because they are working in that way, because that is what they're doing, they deserve the honor for what they're doing. It's not making that gift greater than all the other gifts. There's accountability in it. It's like this. This is, I think, is one of the earliest examples. You go to Acts chapter 6. If you know Acts, God's doing great things. There's preaching. They're adding to the numbers. 3,000, 2,000, 6,000. All these people are coming to Christ. The Hellenistic Jews are upset because their widows are being overlooked. So what do they do? You know what it says in Acts chapter 6? The apostles said, okay, we're going to find somebody to wait on the and disperse the things needed for the widows so that they do not forsake the teaching and prayer. When you people serve in the gifts that you do, when the people serve with the gifts that they do, every Sunday morning is the only way it's possible for me to do what I'm doing. That's why you're so important. It's not like this is the end of the show. There's all a whole long list of credits that made this possible. Those of you that pray for me, we need to understand that. We need to keep that in mind and be thankful for it. By using your gift as an excuse not to serve in other areas is another way that we devalue the gifts. Now, I haven't heard that here too much, but I've heard people say at different times that, you know, we got to clear this out because we're going to do Awana. Somebody says, now service is not my gift. I have the gift of teaching. It was never meant for an excuse. Are we not to pray? Not everybody has a gift of prayer. Are we not to be his witnesses? Not everybody has a gift of evangelism. Some will prophet, some evangelists. Doesn't mean that that's a get out of jail free card. No, I got this gift. And it looks like mine's gluttony lately, but whatever your gift is, not to where we can sidestep these other things. We still go look at all the one another's. We're still to teach one another. We're still to encourage one another, even if those aren't your gifts. It's just those that have that gift do a better job. They're edified by it. Not that they take pride in it, but they enjoy doing it. And other people are edified when they are receiving from them. So it tells us in 1 Thessalonians, it says, do not quench the Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. We quench not treat prophecies with contempt. That's in 1 Thessalonians. Now, we quench the Spirit, we hinder the Spirit when we're disobedient to what the Spirit wants us to do. That's the primary way that we quench it. And we need to depend on the Holy Spirit for everything that we do in ministry. But here's what the Apostle Paul said right after that. He said, you know, don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise or treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. There's a difference. There's a difference in saying, no, I don't believe that. God can't do that. God won't do that. That's not God speaking through you, or God's not doing that in that area, or whatever the case may be. And you're just dismissing it. On the other side of that, just because somebody put God on it doesn't mean that's true. Test the Spirit. We should test the Spirit in all things. Test everything. That means that we should judge those. When somebody says a prophecy, this is what God says to me, then it's something that we should say, does that line up with what God's Word says? Because God never contradicts Himself. Scripture will always prove Scripture. Amen? And what I found, quite honestly, I've met people who say they have a gift, a prophetic gift. And almost every time that I've heard a prophecy from them, they're quoting Scripture. And many times it's Old Testament Scripture or Scripture somewhere. And I'm thinking, why do you need a gift of prophecy if I already got it right here? But that's just me. But test it. Does it line up with what God's saying? Because this is why that's important. Paul didn't say how he corrects that is by abusing the gift, taking the gift, putting down the gift, or saying it didn't exist. He just said, test it. Let's see if it's from God. I did that. I had somebody came in when I was at OMAC, so it tells you that's at least 25 years ago, as a pastor there, and he came in and said, God is going to do this. And they even gave me a date. I said, oh, really? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to mark it on my calendar. It was about 3 months down the road. 3 months down the road, that didn't happen, not even close to happening. It was as bad as a Mayan calendar prophecy. And so what does the Bible say about false prophets? Yeah, not to listen to them. Matter of fact, they would take them outside and stone them. So I didn't need to hear anything else that person said that says it's from God, because it wasn't. Test it. Don't minimize it. I've had people come up to me and say things to me that have come to pass. Well, I think I've waxed long, so sorry. Let me just ask you this in closing. Do you know your spiritual gift? And more importantly, or just as important, are you using it for His glory? Because He has given it to you perfectly, the right amount, the right increment to be used in the body in which He placed you. Go back to 1 Corinthians. He has sovereignly placed you where He wants, each one in the body, to build up our faith collectively, to encourage us, to help us all grow for all of our benefit, for the common good, it says. So all of you are, as I said, indispensable. His purpose. Unique. Gifted by God for His purposes. Father, we thank You. You are generous to us, Lord. As I've said many times, You're a messy blesser. You just bless us beyond understanding. It spills over, blesses other people, and they think it's all of themselves, but it's just Your grace and Your common grace and Your providential grace and Your ministry to us. And we are thankful, Father. I pray, Lord, that we use our gifts for the purpose in which they are given, for the building of the body and for your glory. Amen. Would you stand and we'll sing a song.